Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth off of 4th and Sylvania, if that makes it easier for you to find. The meatball truck is open. People are having a blast. And, of course, all kinds of delicious seltzers and beers happening all throughout the place. If you want to come and join us, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. They will be here long beyond that. And, of course, December 14th, we'll be back for a Tolo party at Martin House. So lots of stuff happening in Fort Worth. And if you missed us today and you're really sad about it, we'll be in Fort Worth again tomorrow off of Quebec Street at Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, you guys want some overreaction or reality? Oh, wait, Mike, you told me not to ask that question. It's time for NFL overreaction or reality. I'm learning my lessons,
you know,
slowly but surely.
You're a better listener than me.
Okay.
Because there's an 80% chance that I'm listening during this segment.
Okay.
But there's about a 20% chance that I kind of lose my focus,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at me, and I'm like, I have no clue what the question was.
But you know, but you're like, crap, he wants something from me.
Yeah, he is looking directly at me for a response to a question that I have no clue who or what it's about.
I'm not going to lie, Mike. There is nothing better than when you've given a long answer and Kevin looks at me and re-asks the question, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
I know.
I've tried to work on that because I can see the look in your eyes now when you're like, I don't.
Good luck.
I
here
don't
we go.
Yeah, and sometimes
asking.
I just go along with what I think we're talking about, and then Kevin buries me 6 feet under because I'm answering something that wasn't the question.
That is a fair critique.
Yeah, this looks like they got some rocks out there for me just to go bury my head over there.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Jets are a bigger disappointment this season than the Cowboys.
Yes.
Okay. So you said that really quickly. High expectations for, I guess, higher expectations for the Jets going into the season?
I think similar expectations, but Aaron Rodgers has stayed healthy this whole time.
They've
traded
true.
For Devontae Adams,
yeah.
and it hasn't made them better at all. So the Cowboys, at this point, you can make the excuse. It's a little bit of a false excuse, but there's reality to it, too. You did lose Micah Parsons for some time. Probably DeMarcus Lawrence is done for the year. You just start looking at these things. Deron Bland has been done for the year so far. Not sure he's going to come back this year.
Yeah.
So now you've lost Dak Prescott for the year. You didn't trade for Devontae Adams. You traded for somebody nobody wanted.
Yeah.
Like, and he hasn't played yet, but like they traded for Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers has been healthy. I'm sorry I don't know every defensive player on the Jets, but they haven't lost their best player, I don't think, defensively.
Sauce is still out there.
Yeah, so, like, I look at the Jets and go, no, they've had their team somewhat healthy, and they are as bad as the Cowboys. That's more disappointing to me than the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. They put everything together, and they were like, we're a quarterback away.
And
last year they had the quarterback. He got hurt, and they had him back.
Yeah.
And so this is supposed to be it, but I think because of a lot of different things, that thing has fallen apart. They had to fire their coach. They had to fire their – they actually didn't have to because they, I guess they listen to Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think they
one.
Found out the hard way that maybe that wasn't particularly
I think they did, honestly.
They should bring him back.
That would be amazing, actually.
I mean, Jerry found out Wade Phillips was the best coach in football, and then nobody hired him again to be a head coach. He could have just brought him back.
Can you imagine rehiring him, and then they go on a run, and they get in the playoffs,
awesome. And Aaron Rodgers is bitter the whole time. Because of it? Oh, my gosh, that would be freaking awesome.
Maybe Zach Wilson's not that bad.
Yeah, okay.
Or he's as – how about this? Zach Wilson is as good as Aaron Rodgers.
What a weird sentence that is not as debatable as you might want
like
to
right
think.
Like right now is what you mean?
Yeah,
like,
not all time. If it's all time,
I'm going to take – In the last 2 years, maybe three, Zach Wilson is maybe as good as Aaron Rodgers.
What a real weird world that we live in. NFL overreaction or reality – the current top six teams in the AFC, and I'll run that down for you, will all make the playoffs.
Who are they?
So, yes.
Yeah, nobody knows.
So I'll tell you then. So the top six are the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Chargers. Overreaction or reality, those six are set.
How far away is...
I think about a game and
a half. I
don't
know. Because Chargers and Steelers are the two teams that I would say, yeah, they probably will make the playoffs, but that would be the two teams that I would think maybe could have a rough second half.
Yeah, the other, and not necessarily a rough second half, but maybe the Broncos. Maybe the Broncos can slip in and take that second spot from the Chargers, and I think that's a team to keep an eye on.
There's still another spot available.
Yeah, those are six out of seven.
Oh,
so there's still another spot available. So you're talking about, even if it is the Broncos, does that mean you think the Bengals are going to get in?
No.
The Colts?
No.
The Dolphins?
No.
I know there's some people who think the Dolphins are about to
Dolphins are too far away.
Yeah.
And they are literally one hit away from being without quarterback again. And you've seen what that team is without Tua. They're nothing without Tua.
He's been back,
and they haven't been able to go on the run that they wanted yet. So
you feel good about those six at least making that. I'm with you. Maybe
the Broncos, Kevin.
Ah, I could see the Broncos getting in the mix.
I don't know. Maybe they'll steal that last spot.
Okay. NFL. You know what, Mike? You just kind of made allusion to it. So I want to ask this question. NFL overreaction or reality, the Steelers are the NFL team most likely to struggle in the second half of the season. Now, we've talked about they've gotten out to a really impressive start, and I still don't totally understand how they lost to the Cowboys. But I wonder if you look at the Steelers and think they might be primed to struggle. That might depend on maybe like what you think about the Bengals or maybe some other
teams. They got the Browns twice and the Bengals twice.
Yeah, so that might really pivot on what you think about the Bengals.
But they do also have the Ravens twice and the Chiefs.
So at least three of their last seven are against the best of the best in the NFL. And if you think the Bengals are coming up in the world, then that's five of seven.
Mm-hmm. And they got a big – the day after our Tolo party out here, Kevin, they have a huge intrastate rivalry with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, that is a brutal back half of that schedule.
Yeah, that's tough. So I can totally see them struggling but still having just enough to get into the playoffs. Like I can't see that happening. But they have a better chance against Baltimore and Kansas City than they did whenever it was Justin Fields, because now you feel like they can produce offensively.
Could you imagine if somehow the Steelers do have a great second half? I'm just throwing a hypothetical out here. They do have a tough schedule, like you said. But that Bengals game they play, the last game of the year, somehow the Steelers have won the division, let's just say. They've held off Baltimore. They've won the division. If they just sit out that game, the Bengals get in, and the Bengals are most likely their matchup. Do you try to play as hard as you can against the Bengals to beat them, to have them not make the playoffs and not play Joe Burrow?
I think I do.
But if you lose, then you're like, crap, we just went all out, and we still lost to him, and now we have to play him again next week.
That's a good question. I think I am going with that first answer, though. Let's get them the hell out of here right now. All right, so since they're playing tonight, I want to go and throw this question out now. NFL overreaction or reality, it is time to look at the Eagles as a legit Super Bowl contender. Now, I know we all feel like the NFC starts with the Lions, and then you can go whatever the hell direction you want from there. But we'll probably learn more tonight. So I wanted to ask this before the game. You view the Eagles as a real contender to make it to the Super Bowl.
I do. No, like they have a great running back. They have two great receivers when healthy. Their tight end is fantastic, and their quarterback looks as comfortable and smooth as we've seen him in 2 years.
That I agree
with. Their offensive line came together. Like that was part of it, was replacing Jason Kelce. Everybody early in the season, not so easy, ha ha ha. And they weren't completely healthy yet. They had to get that together. So yeah, they fixed a lot of that. And they made that look easy against the Cowboys. Like that second half, they were just like, we're cruising to a win here. And now, granted, that is the Cowboys they were dealing with there, but they cruised on it. The other thing, too, defensively, they have all those pieces, too. So lockdown cornerbacks. I'm afraid of playing Terry McLaurin tonight. Honestly, I'm like, okay. Oh, crap, I go with T. Higgins instead? They have lockdown cornerbacks, and then they also have pressure up the middle from their defensive line as well as on the edges. So, yeah, they have all the pieces. It's whether or not their coach can keep that thing in line.
Who are we talking about again?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
Yes, only because the NFC is the worst it's ever been in the history of the NFC. If that I put them true. In the AFC, they have no chance to make the Super
I could,
Bowl.
I could see that.
But I agree with you when you said, hey, let's leave out the Lions here. I think the Lions are the class right now.
I'm with you on that. Now, let me ask you about the other side of that game. And I know that we're going to talk about these quarterbacks a little bit later in the show as well. But NFL overreaction or reality, Jaden Daniels has been the most pleasant surprise in the NFL this season. Like, putting aside your team partisanship, because otherwise I could see how you'd be like, well, hell no. But, like, yeah. Jaden Daniels has been the most positive surprise in the NFL this season.
Last night, Carter and I were talking, and he was like, we hate the Commanders and the Eagles, right? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
But we can also be NFL fans. And so we were talking about that idea, and I was like, you have to appreciate what they've done, what Dan Quinn's been able to do so quickly with that team. But Jaden Daniels has been the reason. Him and Cliff Kingsbury were the perfect combination. I talk about that all the time. You can have a great quarterback, but having the right guy calling the plays is so important, too. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, that combination. And plus, it made Terry McLaurin relevant.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, like he was a dude that was like, what are you going to do about him? He has Heineke throwing to him and
kinda
Sam
Howell.
Kind of
feels like he's been like, allow me to reintroduce myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And so yeah, I would say that if you're an NFL fan, you're watching what he's doing and you're like, wow, this is fun to see.
Mike, Jaden Daniels as the most positive surprise in the NFL this season. I actually think, I hope this makes sense, because I know he's a veteran. I think it's that Derrick Henry has still got it. Like, Jaden Daniels has been a super fun story. He was also the number 2 pick in the draft. So I don't know how surprised you can be. I think it's that Derrick Henry is still really good.
Okay, I'm going to throw out another one, and I'm going to corey it up here. I think that Sean Payton and Bo Nix
okay.
is super positive and surprising to me. Now, I get Jaden Daniels. Yes, he's in this conversation too. I'm not saying I have one that's better,
yeah,
but I think there's other.
Bo Nix was an overdraft. People were like, oh my god, did he really go that high?
Yeah, so I think I know that we've fallen off the bandwagon, but maybe most positive, and it's fading as the season's gone. Sammy D can still play football. Like, everybody written him off. So
since you guys just said that, let me ask one more, because this was another thing I had in there that ties directly to that player. NFL overreaction or reality, the magical dream that has been Sam Darnold this season is over.
I have to.
They're 7-2, I do believe.
I got to look up, like, I know this isn't fair because I'm not watching him play. I have to look up his stats recently to kind of see what's his percentages, his interception
yes,
stuff.
I think it's over. Okay. I think that they can still play good, solid football.
3 picks against Jacksonville.
They looked unbeatable to start the season. And now they look like you're like, oh, okay, like with the wrong matchup, that team definitely can be beat. Sam Darnold has been good. He's been better than we've ever seen Sam Darnold, honestly.
So I'm going to throw this out there for you. Since the month of October, so we're talking about a pretty lengthy amount of time, he has 6 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions.
Oh.
He's also been sacked 16 times. So,
it sounds like it's over.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It sounds like he's turning back into Sam Darnold.
And they're 3-2. And, I mean, they do keep winning. They're winning, but they're winning against maybe not the best. They've beaten Jacksonville by 5, Indianapolis by 8, and the Jets by 6.
Yeah.
So not a murderer's row exactly.
He had, in September, his first 4 games, he had 11 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions. Obviously, he has 6 and 7, like you said. So I'm like, it looks like it's fading on him, especially, yeah, the opponents. I get it. Like, if you have a rough game against Detroit, I get it. But they only lost that game by 2. But 12-7 against Jacksonville's weird. 21-13, they do beat Indianapolis, but I don't see them as a contender or a good team. So, yeah, it's these next 2 weeks. I feel like 2 weeks from now, ask me this question around Thanksgiving, and let's see where he's at. But it looks like he's fading pretty hard.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth. Coming up next, I wanted to do this topic all week long. Who is on the Mount Rushmore of all-time overhyped athletes? 877-881-1053. We'll do that. And Mike likes it with the meatball reviews, perhaps next, right here on 105 Through the Fan.
On second down and 2, Congemi again gives to Clapton. This time Oklahoma penetrates Brian Bosworth, the strong side linebacker.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. That will give you a tip off as to who one of my answers is going to be. Now, we're live at Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth. I know Mike has ordered some meatballs. We might lose him for a little bit of time. But my question
this is your segment
for everybody right here, who was on the Mount Rushmore of all-time overhyped athletes? Now,
are we building one for the show? Because I only selected one, Kevin.
You can pick 4. That's
okay,
how
I'll
Mount
pick
Rushmore
then.
Works.
I'll pick 4.
So basically,
there's enough mountain to put another person up there.
Okay,
that
they just have to get a person to. I guess the water runs over and it just randomly becomes person.
No, that is
like, wow, those are 4 presidents the water made.
Definitely
evolution.
That's definitely not what happened.
No.
But I saw this on. I
thought all this Law and Order came through like science.
No, it was chiseled by people. Awful Announcing.
Interesting.
Kind of started this conversation. And they threw out their 4. And I can tell you, therefore, we can just skip right into our group of players. I have a couple of honorable mentions, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with the 4. And go ahead and give me cut number 8 if you can, because this is another one that I think is a very logical selection.
We pass Mwanga, picking him out, and leads it. What do you do? He's got to shoot it. He does. He scores. 4-2.
Now, my Mount Rushmore of all-time overhyped athletes, and you'll notice this is like during when I was alive and watching sports. So there might be people like, oh, what about Joe Namath or I don't know, whatever. And like, I didn't pick anybody from that time. So my 4 are Todd Van Poppel, Freddie Adu, Brian Bosworth, and Danica Patrick. So Todd Van Poppel, it just felt like the hype behind him, maybe it's because he was from Texas, or I was really getting into cards at the time, was that he was going to be freaking amazing and like be the next Nolan Ryan and everything. And
first ever millionaire out of the draft.
Yeah, and it didn't work out at all. Freddie Adu, we've talked about it. He was going to make soccer popular in the United States. And then
at least Todd Van Poppel pitched in the major leagues. Freddie Adu didn't even play real soccer.
And because he wasn't really that great.
He was
really good at a young age, but he never got to like be as good as everybody thought. Ryan Bosworth, I mean, look, everybody knew the boss coming out of college, the boss. And then like, what was he done in 2 years? And then Danica Patrick I threw on there. Now, she did race, and she had her moments where she had nice finishes and stuff, but it felt like people were like, hold on, she's a lady, and she's racing a car? This is crazy. Let's talk about it forever. Oh, is she any good? You know, she's pretty. And you're like, hold on. That's not the question I asked.
Did she ever win anything?
I don't think she won, like, a real race.
Not in racing.
I'll go back and double check on that. But
maybe
I feel like
a poll.
There was so much freaking hype behind her. So the four that I'm going to go with, Danica Patrick, Brian Bosworth, Freddie Adu, and Todd Van Poppel. Now, we already had one suggestion off air that created a little bit of controversy, and it was Mr. Image is Everything, Andre Agassi.
Oh, man.
We had this discussion.
I remember his match with Pete Sampras that lasted like 15 hours. That was amazing.
I personally... I'm sorry, Eric. I do not think that Andre Agassi is overrated because he won 8 Grand Slams. Now, some of them, hold on, some of them came after he lost his hair, but not all of them. He did win a couple of Grand Slams.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence should look at Andre Agassi and figure something out.
He won a couple of Grand Slams and got up to number 1, I guess 3, when he really had his hair. And then he kind of disappeared for a while. And then he came back and was really good all of a sudden again. Yeah. Like after like 4 years, he's like, I got rid of my hair. I don't think I'm with Brooke Shields anymore. And I'm going to start winning majors
again. Steffi Graf turned him around.
Yeah. I don't know when they got together, but maybe that is what happened.
You have yours or
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I don't even know if there's any highlights or not, but I thought this was
Let me ask you this, Mike. Did you tell Alec that you wanted it?
I have one highlight.
I did, but I changed a few.
Okay.
Because I decided to do this. Number one,
it up.
Danny Ferry.
Cut number 9.
Draws a double team. Here's Ferry for 3. Danny Ferry.
That sounded nice, though.
So Danny Ferry was the consensus best player in college basketball. He was the next Larry Bird. So as Larry Bird started having back issues, people are going to forget this if they're not old enough. Danny Ferry was the way we're talking about Cooper Flagg. Now, I know he's a freshman. And back then, back in the late 80s, you'd go to school for at least 3 years, if not 4. Danny Ferry was going to be the next greatest basketball player in the history of basketball. And then the Clippers had the number 1 overall pick, and he said, I'm not going to the Clippers. So he went overseas to play basketball. He hated the Clippers so much.
Did they take Danny Manning? Was that year?
No. They ended up having to trade him, I believe, to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so he ends up going to Cleveland, and it's like, here he comes. He's the next this and that. College player of the year. He's going to be Larry Bird. And he was just like, he was an average player at best.
Okay, I like that one. I'm going to guess and play cut number 10 that this fella makes his way onto your list.
James, guarded by Tyson, steps back, and Bronny James has his first points in the NBA.
Bronny James, what a joke.
Nobody's hyping him. They know
his dad
what he
hyped
is.
Him up for 5 years. I'm going to play with my son in the NBA, and they just made it happen. Like, yeah, he's not even close to an NBA player, but here he is. Deal with it, Griffies.
What they're doing with him on the G League now?
What are they doing? Is he turning into a coach? Because that's a better career for him.
No, but they're like, hey, you can play the home games. We're not going to make you get on the plane
and
go play away games.
This is amazing.
What? Yes.
This is amazing,
isn't it? His expenses are too much.
Maybe. So he's on your list, I assume?
Yeah, like how he has – hey, don't – Corey, we've heard about this son for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do anything in high school that was that important. He was nice. He goes to USC, and unfortunately, he did have the heart situation.
Yeah.
But he was not a good college basketball player. He was a below-average freshman college basketball player on a D1 level, and now he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and
way
calling
over.
Calling his shots in the G League.
Yeah, and in the G League, he's like, yeah, I'm not traveling. All right, fine, whatever. All right, so then my next two, just to have fun, is Christian Laettner and Jay Williams. So I just
what the hell? Are you just picking all Duke players?
Well, Christian Laettner he did make an all, like, he was way better than Danny Ferry.
He was on Team USA.
Yeah.
Over Shaq.
I know. Look, I will fight for that to the death, that at the time, he was the best player in college basketball. Mm-hmm. You could look back on it and be like, that was really stupid.
How much playing time was Shaq really getting on that?
Yeah, that's fair. And Chris,
Patrick Ewing and David Robertson.
Yeah, they were fine.
Sorry.
See, I thought you might throw out
And then I picked
Jerickson Profar.
The thing is
the
I didn't pick, I just decided to pick basketball players. I had Felipe Lopez on there, which nobody's going to remember, but he was the number one player in New York.
Is that the St. John's kid?
Yeah,
yes, I do remember that.
He's my age. He's my class. So I was like, I remember playing basketball, like, Felipe Lopez. And then after watching him play at St. John's, like, oh, Felipe Lopez. He didn't make the NBA, but Jay Williams is not fair. I'm just going to be honest, because he got hurt. I tried to not pick, like, Greg Oden was a huge bust, but Greg Oden's a huge bust because of injury. Because he was good in college, and you just don't know what he'd have been because of injury. So I tried to not pick injury, because I was going to then pick Bobby Hurley, but today's National Seatbelt Day. If you'd like to know about wearing a seatbelt, ask Bobby Hurley.
That is fair. By the way, our buddy Ben is listening. He said Jerickson Profar. I think this is the part of the show where we say goodbye to Mike as they have delivered a tray of meatballs.
That is a lot of meatballs.
I just turned my mic off. Mike back on for 1 second. Yeah. I'm about to have some of the best meatballs ever.
From the 817, Dak Prescott, Rougned Odor, Trevor Lawrence, and Deshaun Watson. From the 405, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, Reggie Bush, and Ricky Williams. This one's funny. From the 469, Sebastian Telfair, Jamarcus Russell, Rocket Ishmael, and just for Kevin, Speedy Noyle. Man, Speedy Noyle was this player that came to A&M, and they seemed to think like they had just gotten the greatest football player that had ever lived, and that was going to like change everything. And then, you know what? It didn't. Corey, what say you?
All right, for basketball. And I know like the hype is different because it wasn't necessarily out of college. James Harden. I think James Harden was like when he left Oklahoma City, it was like, oh, man, he's going to go run Houston and they're going to be all amazing. And they played in the playoffs sometimes, you know, and like that was about it. He is a very skilled individual player. He is very skilled. He's not the best. He's not the best team guy. Even though he has lots of assists, the whole team doesn't do better because of him. But I always thought that he was just a little overhyped because he got involved in that conversation of is he the best. It's kind of a little bit of a fear with Luka. Was like as good as he is. Does it translate? Well, Luka's been to the finals. He's been to the Western Conference Finals. It's worked.
Okay.
Anna Kournikova.
Ooh, that's a good one.
She was gorgeous. You know, maybe she still is. I don't know. Let's go look.
Can you look that up in a minute?
All right, fine. But Anna Kournikova, and it wasn't necessarily like, I don't know if anybody expected her to be a great tennis player.
I think,
but she
kinda.
Was, did they really? Okay, but it just seemed like she wasn't good. She wasn't as good as everybody was like, oh man, she's hot. And that was about it. Like, sure. That's where it started and that's where it finished. My number three. Oh, did you want to talk about
Kournikova? No, I was just going to throw it out there. Do you know how many major finals she was ever in?
Zero.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
She made the semifinals of Wimbledon in 1997 and the quarterfinals of the Australian Open in 2001. Do you know how many career singles titles she has?
Zero.
That is also correct.
So that kind of tracks.
I think you make a fair point.
My number three person that I think is overhyped, Jadeveon Clowney. Now, Kevin.
Okay, let me present your argument on this if I can. Jadeveon Clowney had the tackle with South Carolina. Was it against Michigan?
It was Michigan.
When he broke the entire state of Michigan with the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Everybody knew he was going to be the number one pick, and he just kind of quit. And then he got to the NFL, and Corey up and down was like, I don't think so. I'm not buying this guy. I'm not buying his work ethic. I don't think. You weren't like, he'll be out of the league in 2 years, but you're like, he is never going to be the dude.
He was never going to live up to the number one overall pick.
And he has not.
He's been serviceable at times as a defensive end.
I will give you credit for that, absolutely.
And then Alec has my audio for this one, but it's this is a guy that, look, maybe the hype's deserved.
Oh, you might get Mike to turn his mic back on.
I'm just not a huge. I just was, you know, I always thought Michael Young was just as good. This guy right here.
And the 2-0. There it is. For 72 years, Lou Gehrig has been the Yankees' all-time hits leader. Now, it's Derek Jeter.
Oh, he hit one to right field again. Oh,
I really
job.
Thought you were going to play like a strikeout of Derek Jeter or something like
that. Yeah, he hit one to right field. That's what Jeter does. He was really good at being in the best lineup in all of baseball history. Just being like, you know what, I'm really benefiting. He's like Najee Marshall. You know, he's all right. And then he benefited from being surrounded by the best hitters that you could possibly buy. And he was always at the plate whenever the big moment shone. And because he was wearing a Yankees hat, every pitcher was scared of him. And so he was like, yeah, I'll get I'll get a hit in this big moment. I think that Michael Young could have been in that lineup and done some amazing things also.
Okay, Corey.
And Michael Young doesn't get enough credit for how great he was.
I do agree. I want to make clear that this is from the 806, not me.
And I know Chris Woodward told me that I was a dummy for that,
yes.
But I'm okay with it.
And he even told us about that one time he was on Degrassi.
Yeah.
So from the 806, Mount Rushmore of overhyped athletes, Lynn Swann, Derek Jeter, Joe Namath, and Bo Jackson. Now, I want to make this clear. That is not my Mount Rushmore, but here it is. From the 940, Jake Paul, Ryan Leaf, Dak, and Darius Miles. Man, I haven't thought about Darius Miles in a while.
Was he in the movie?
Yes. Was he in The Perfect Score?
Yes.
Something along those lines. From the 682.
I only want to be with you.
That is Darius Rucker. Trevor Lawrence. And right? At this point, I see it. I just don't think, and it could be a product of like age and how much media we get now. Because for me, Todd Van Poppel and Brian Bosworth were both at a place where, you know, we still didn't have all the TV channels, obviously no internet. I felt like I heard about them all the time, nonstop. And then they weren't really that good. Freddie Adu, like I said, he was going to single-handedly change soccer here in the United States. And that didn't happen. Then Danica Patrick, you heard every time she did anything, it was big news, big news. She is kind of the equivalent, I think, to a certain extent of Anna Kournikova. And so I like that answer, and that's why I went with those. All right, I'm going to get to more of your fan text, but Alec, I wanted to give you a shot at this as well if you want.
So I'm going to build up to my cut here. I'm going with people that I grew up watching. I'm a lot younger. I could go full revisionist history, but people I actually saw in person or just growing up. Jurickson Profar makes the list. Le'Veon Bell is one for me. I feel like he did a lot of things that a lot of people did, but he just got a bigger spotlight because he was on winning teams. Sam Bradford, as much as I wanted him to succeed, obviously it's kind of not fair because of injuries and everything, but still.
I warned you about that guy too, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there was a lot of moments that he could have really established himself as something special, but he just didn't capitalize when he was healthy. And then number one, outside of 2015, I don't really remember anything memorable about this guy.
They've only allowed one today on Bortles, who fires, and it's intercepted. Josh Norman has a Panther pick six. Touchdown, Carolina.
I like to joke that Justin Herbert is like the best quarterback of all time in made-up scenarios, and in a same like weird way, Josh Norman is the best corner ever in scenarios where he can just get people to like want to fight him. When he can get in their head, like OBJ, against OBJ, that's prime time. That is awesome. But outside of that, it seemed like if he couldn't get in their head, he didn't really do anything amazing.
Now,
Bortles was also overrated.
This is also true.
I love that clip because I was like, is he going to say Blake Bortles or Josh Norman? From the 469, Ronda Rousey. From the 214, Ronda Rousey. I love to hear it. I'm totally with you on that. Harold Miner, Jeremy Lin. Jamarcus Russell has come up a few times, as has Zion. And Zion is going to be another one that, I mean, remember, I know he wasn't the president at the time, but President Obama was like, I got to be here at this Duke, North Carolina game because Zion was like the biggest thing in the world. And then when he blew out his shoe in like 45 seconds, everyone was just like, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so like he was a humongous deal. And obviously with injury concerns, he looks like he could be a damn good player, but he's struggled. Here's one we haven't really talked about.
By the way, Kevin, Anna Kournikova.
Still pretty?
Still pretty.
Okay.
Still.
Tim Tebow. What do we think about Tim Tebow being on the list? Because he was, again, kind of like Bosworth. He was outstanding in college.
Yeah, but everybody knew, except for somehow the Broncos. Like, everybody knew in that draft, like, hey, third round pick, we get it. Maybe greatest college quarterback of all time. You can argue greatest college football player of all time. But everybody scouting the draft was like, but there's not a lot here for NFL.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos took him like in the late first round.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? So then it did put him into this category because all it takes is one team to say you're a first rounder. As long as they take you, you're a first rounder.
From the 817, Mike Bassick, most overrated or overhyped.
I'm honest to God, maybe so.
It was that guy right there.
I was awesome.
The blue.
I was awesome in high school.
Roddy B, Todd Marinovich. Oh, Darko Milicic. That is a good one. And then somebody said for their Mount Rushmore, it's just four pictures of Roddy B. And that's all it is.
Dude, him. Yeah, and locally, it's, you know, him, Gallo, and Profar are definitely that trio. And
I mean, honestly, if you want to do this, even way more than Profar and Gallo is David Clyde. Before our time.
Yeah, that is before our time.
But he was considered, people today who are old will say, there's no human being they still seen in high school that was better than David Clyde.
And the weird thing is, I guess he can take some solace or credit in knowing that he essentially saved the Rangers being in Texas. Now, I realize that did no good for the rest of his career.
Look at who I had before I decided to go with Clowney, Kevin. Can you tell what that says?
I cannot read that.
It says Romo.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that would have been the hottest of hot takes.
That is a hot take.
But, I mean, think about it. Romo wasn't hype coming out of college. But whenever he took the reins, it was a Monday night football game against the Giants. And he didn't have the greatest game, but from there on, he launched into a stratosphere that only a Cowboys quarterback can go into. And granted, he was a good quarterback throughout his career. But people were putting him up there with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
People were putting him up there with all the great quarterbacks in the NFL, and he never quite lived up to it. And you can say, look, that's Jerry's fault. That's fine. Like, that's perfectly okay. And maybe if he'd had better teams more often in his career. But I always felt like it was overhyped for him, even though he was a very good quarterback.
Tony Mandarich has come up quite a bit in this as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth. Now we kick it over to Mike for Mike Likes It.
Okay, real quick. I know I'm not supposed to give food reviews on our show, but real quick, the meatballs from, I'm going to say, O'Balls.
Yes.
Hashtag roll with it here. Really good. The wax, I'm just calling it wax, but it's like an Asian meatball. Unbelievable. That so far was the best. I've had the Mama's, which was really good, and the Heartbreaker.
Oh, those are fancy.
So I would like to have more of these, but I have to keep talking for about 8 more minutes till I can eat the other ones.
Yeah, it's time for us to stop, you know?
All right. So I am going to continue baseball nuggets because my baseball nuggets have been, shortened because of commercials lately. So obviously the 10:36 to 10:45 commercials working out well.
Thanks a lot for the commercials, though. You know,
money.
Keeping the doors open.
All right. So these are 7 hot takes going into the off season as we get closer to the winter meetings, which will be here in Dallas, which I believe we will be at the winter meetings.
That is the plan.
No team should be more aggressive than the, you have a guess?
New York Mets.
Okay.
Rangers.
No.
I would love for those to be the answer. It's the Baltimore Orioles. This is going to be interesting. They do have new ownership. And so they have the team. They have what they have, the Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. Now, Santander is a free agent. He is awesome. And I do know after Juan Soto, you could argue he's the best hitter on the market.
Okay.
But they do Corbin Burnes, who they traded for, supposedly isn't going back to Baltimore. That will be interesting. But if you look at their team, they have everything you need to win a World Series. For some reason, they stunk it up in September. And I was like, hey, they're trying the Texas Ranger thing. After losing to the Rangers, they're actually going to try to not be good in September and then run October. It didn't happen that way. They could never get the momentum that they had for the first 4 months of the season, and then they didn't play good. But if you look at Baltimore, they have everything you need. They have guys on rookie contracts early on in their career. They're going to have – there's a chance they have back-to-back rookies of the year.
Wow.
So you just look at it and go, they are really good, but we will see if they are as aggressive as, at least in this article, they should be, because everything is set up for them to have success.
I don't know if this question is relevant now. If not, we can get into it later. How far away are they from getting the label of, like, they just don't do it in the playoffs?
Two more years?
Okay.
So they lose, obviously get swept by Texas last year. I'm sorry, I'm already forgetting who they lost to, but it was in a hurry. And then if they lose this year, then you have to take a hard look. I shouldn't say 2 more years. I think if they lose this year, first of all, if they don't make the playoffs, then what?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if they just let Corbin Burnes walk, I'm going to Grayson Rodriguez scares me now as just a great pitcher who's always going to be hurt. I hope that's not the case. He's kind of from this Metroplex. He's from East Texas. I'm forgetting. Nacogdoches, maybe.
Yep, that is it. Yep.
And so I look at them and go, there is a chance that they are one of those, what happened? Like, I thought they were going to be dominant. I know that people around baseball were like, yeah, after the Rangers beat the Orioles, hey, thank God they beat them now because the Orioles are about ready to take over the American League for the next 3 years or so. But if they let Burns walk, they let Santander walk, and they don't replace those guys, and they give people like, hey, what about signing Blake Snell, who got better in San Francisco late in the year but had a very disappointing year? He's a free agent again. What if they go and try to trade for Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox, who will most likely be traded? So stuff like that with the Baltimore Orioles, watch out for them. Number
Their
six.
Their manager would go first, though, like in the next couple years if they don't make it, right?
You're very low.
Oh, okay.
I can't. What'd you say?
Their manager would go first, right, in the next couple years?
Like get rid of the manager?
Yeah. Or
yeah, I mean, he did win manager of the year in 23, but that hasn't stopped, you know. Teams. Skip Schumacher was the other manager here in 21.
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
Miami got rid of him. He's like, I'm getting rid of Miami. But number six is, and I think this is interesting on what his market is going to be. It says Walker Buehler will be the best starter signed this winter. And it says, I don't know this, so you're going to have to help me out here, kids. It says, I'm what the kids call a Walker Buehler stan. What is a stan? S-T-A-N.
I don't know.
I stand up for them. I'm a fan of them. They're like, that's my person. I'm gonna argue with everybody about they are the best.
Okay, so if you're a stan for that guy. So, like, Bobby Belt's a stan for
Dak. Yes.
Dak.
Yep.
Like, Dak's the greatest quarterback he's ever seen in his life, and that will never change his
yes,
mind.
Yes, okay. Exactly. He's a Dak stan.
Okay. So, when it comes to this, it says he's got stuff, but he's also got guts. It talks about what he did in the playoffs, how much he improved, and that in this article, they believe Walker Buehler is going to get back to 2021 Walker Buehler, but you don't have to pay him like it's 2021.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting from Walker Buehler if he takes a longer-term deal.
Because would you take a short one and be like, hey, I got my mojo back, let me flip this around, and then when I'm a free agent again, and like, let's just say 2 years or whatever, everyone's going to be like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's right now. Do you?
Is that the way you would go?
If I was an organization, I'd love to give him one for $20 million just to see if I'm right. But, I mean, if he's willing to take three for 45, I'm taking a little bit of a risk. But, dude, if I just got a Cy Young candidate again, I just paid a dude $20 million less than what his market is worth for the next 3 years per year.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing. And then the last one here, it just says, Roky Sasaki should sign with my favorite team.
I agree. My favorite team is the Texas Rangers. I would like Roky Sasaki to sign with the Texas Rangers.
And he just has an exclamation point here. It says, not the Dodgers. That's not fair.
I'm like, already a little nervous about him, by the way. When Mike said shoulder last week, or was it last week?
Yeah. That
he mentioned shoulder, and I was like,
his velocity dropped a hair this last year, and he wasn't as effective. Now, the thing is it always goes to translation. Because when the manager of the team or whatever kind of says, well, his shoulder, sometimes, you know, the direct translation gets harsher.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
We've seen this with, you know, hey, we're not sure how to translate what Dirk Nowitzki said in this interview in German. We're going to translate it. But then when you translate it through Google Translate, it doesn't translate exactly the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Where exactly so like maybe he does have a major shoulder injury, but I don't think he. I think the team we would hear this from major league teams if he had a major shoulder injury or concern.
I just the nightmare that I had flashing through my head was he's about to get Tommy John, and that's why he's coming out into the majors now.
Yep.
So he can. Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying that's going
to
happen.
I wouldn't mind that. To be honest, here's the deal: if he got Tommy John right now and he's not at all. You are signing him to a minor league contract. I don't know how you would do this, but you'd be like, if we don't put him on the 40 man, his time hasn't started. Does that make sense? Like if he needed the major surgery, you'd be like, hey, the major surgery is happening without having him yet on the major league team, so his service time isn't starting yet.
Look at Mike cheating the system. I like it, dude.
Hey,
I
don't think
that's savvy.
Whatever it takes to get him here, I would be super excited about that.
That's me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, potentially more of Mike's meatball reviews out here at Martin House Brewing in Fort Worth. Plus, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Well, let's talk to our friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com next from Martin House Brewing on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.